Hello everyone, I'm George Myland. Welcome back to my channel. And this is me presenting about Norman Tebbit. Well, Requiescat in Parche, Lord Tebbit. Now, the highlight of his career was meeting me in about 2000 when we had luncheon together. It wasn't just us two, but there were others in the Randolph Hotel in Oxford. And Lord Cecil Parkinson happened to be on the other table. And he'd had lunch with the Conservative Association a few months prior. So both Thatcher-era cabinet ministers. So Lord Tebbit has been called to the reward at 94. And I remember chatting to him a bit, but one of the few things I asked about was the Anglo-Irish Agreement of, was it 1985, signed at Hillsborough Castle, County Down, by Dr. Garret Fitzgerald, our then Taoiseach, and the Prime Minister, Maggie Thatcher. And was that the right thing to do? That had given the Republic, us, some say in the internal affairs of Northern Ireland, despite, you know, Northern Ireland not being represented in the Oireachtas, or indeed the Irish Republic not being represented in Westminster, and wasn't that anti-democratic? And this is meant to be in return for enhanced cooperation on counter-terrorism. Tebbit said they welched on that from the beginning, as in the Republic of Ireland didn't help out sufficiently in defeating terrorist gangs. And he said, "We got it wrong. What else can I say?" So it's unlikely to hear a mea culpa from that. So I remember walking along with him from the Randolph Hotel towards Broad Street. Goodness. And then him giving us a speech. And he was delighted about whatever sort of scandal it was in the Labour Party at the time. So he believes in free markets, but not relation to drugs and sex like that. So he's sort of the last Victorian. Lord Norman Tebbit, come from a working-class family. I read his autobiography when I was an undergraduate, upwardly mobile, how his father had volunteered in the First World War. And famously, Lord Tebbit addressed the Tory Party conference about 1982 when he was employment secretary, and unemployment kept going up. So a disastrous employment secretary in that regard. And, and there were a lot of far-left people who were rioting, saying, "I grew up in the 1930s with an unemployed father. My father didn't riot. He got on his bike and he looked for work," and it got a lot of applause from others. So, and he didn't stop looking till he found work. And "on your bike" became a phrase of the 80s. And I didn't know where it came from when I was little. It was an allusion to what's his name, to Lord Tebbit, what he was saying, that people shouldn't moan about their problems, they should solve them. And that's a mantra of mine as well, that you feel a lot better when you're improving your situation, not lamenting it, you know. If you want to get fit, don't say, "Oh, I'm so unfit." Take exercise. You're worried about your exams? Start revising. Just don't moan about it. Improve it. Anyway, coming on to him. So national services after the Second World War. He had distant Dutch ancestry. He grew up in Enfield, North London. He was in the Royal Air Force and then became a British Airways pilot and so on. And sort of tended to really dislike the trades unions. So he never attended tertiary education. He had said he had thought about it, but if it was a working class boy in the late 1940s, that was almost unheard of. So he's married, he had children, and his wife really was the love of his life. There's no doubt about his fidelity. But yeah, he was sort of uptight, judgmental, not really my sort of person. And he thought the trade unions might need it to be curbed. And in that, I suppose I would concur with him. There were too many strikes in the 70s. Anyway, he was known for his fortitude. So terrorists attempted to murder the democratically elected politicians. But the IRA's war on freedom ended in a dismal failure. And liberty and justice triumphed, which is why they were put to flight. And their loyalist mirror images, these terrorist gargoyles, were crushed. Anyway, so that's why Northern Ireland is free in the United Kingdom. Now, it could be that Northern Ireland later chooses to join the Republic, but the UK government has said for over a century, if that ever happens, then that will be expedited. So the Brighton bomb in 1984, set off by Patrick McGee. So Tebbit's wife was severely injured. He wasn't badly killed. There were four victims of that outrage. And he had to look after his wife for the rest of her life, really. She was wheelchair bound. And he eventually left the cabinet in 1987 after that election. He had to care for his wife and so on. So he's probably the one who was closest to Thatcher. And he didn't have to live down any upper class guilt. A lot of them were toffs in her first cabinet who said, "Well, it's kind of easy for me. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. We mustn't be too hard on the working class." And whereas Tebbit had pulled himself up by his bootstraps and said, if I could make it, anybody could make it. None of these excuses. Come on, get off your ass and actually work. And these excuses for being criminals, no, that doesn't wash. You've got to obey the law. I'm not standing for any of this nonsense. So he's a hate figure for leftist undergraduates. So, yeah, he was certainly a conviction politician. Methinks he was narrow-minded. You know, okay, we got inflation down, but there was high unemployment. And in the Republic of Ireland, it's only when we learned to love Thatcherism in the 90s that we started to become rich. But I'm not, you know, I have very mixed feelings about Thatcherism. Mass unemployment is not good. Neither is inflation. Crime tripled under the Conservatives. A lot more family breakdown, a lot more drug abuse. And these are enormous failures. Goodness. So he'd wanted to be a political journalist, worked for the Financial Times at the time. And so Michael Foot, leader of the Labour Party, 1981 to 83, he notoriously dubbed Tebbit a semi-trained polecat. And spitting image was this send-up of politics, this puppet show. And the marionette who portrayed Tebbit was this guy who sort of a skinhead who wore a black leather jacket and had a bludgeon, was all threatening people. So Tebbit, he reveled in that hard man image. Goodness. And in 1990, he said he objected the way that Britons of Asiatic extraction, they tended to support the old country rather than England and Wales in cricket, as in British Indians often cheering for India, British Sri Lankans often supporting Sri Lanka, and so forth. Now, I don't agree with him on this one, because, of course, the United Kingdom doesn't have a cricket team. There's one for Scotland. There's one for Ireland, the whole of Ireland, Northern Ireland and the Republic. There's one for England and Wales, so there is 101 for the UK, and so on. So he's the chairman of the Conservative Party, and that's it. He lived on in Bury St. Edmunds. I was there a few months ago, where I was just reading about him. And he was often appearing in the media. He was rather anti-gay. He disliked when Tory MPs came out with gay, saying, don't bore us with your sexual problems. He didn't want same-sex marriage, called it sodomite marriage, which is obviously a pejorative term. But he was a man of his era, so he grew up in the 30s and 40s when homosexuality was criminalized. He thought to be, you know, the very best, risible, often said to be unhygienic, unhealthy, disgraceful, immoral, evil, and so on. So he just couldn't get beyond that mindset. So he was a bigoted man in some regards. I don't think he was racialist, at least. So he leaves a rather mixed record. And was often on the media. He suggested the security services were trying to scupper the Tory party in the William Hague era, as though that needed to be done. It was, we're doing very badly under William Hague. What else? He was a hardline Eurosceptic. He'd helped support John Major to become prime minister. He didn't stand himself in 1990, something came to regret. But he disliked that the European Union, with the European Economic Community until 1993, that was acceptable. But he never actually backed Reform UK on the Brexit party, though he did vote leave in 2016. That is Norman Tebbit, died at the age of 94. They don't make him like that anymore, and in some ways that's a good thing.